Benny Bermuda, Don Dinero, Plug and Choose. ¿Cuál es la pinga que te singa por la mañana?
I got a plug in Cuba. 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 I just flew back from Aruba. The press niggas like to keep wars on computers. At home I get money, but overseas I am the shooter. It's not a rumor. Soy and Chufa in Cuba. I eat with the winners, you start with the losers. Get you a straw. Sucker MCs suck just like a Hoover. Benaki mommy, I need some hands, so come be my tutor. I got a wedding in jet skis in a Laguna. I got a plug in Cuba. And the way shit is going, I should have met with him sooner. I got a plug in Cuba. 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 I got a plug in Cuba.
Yo, what's going on? It's the homie Mez. Y'all tuned in to Mez Drinks and Chill. It's another episode. Got the homie Benny in the building. Benny Bermuda, what's popping, bro?
You already know. East New York to the fullest.
East New York, what's good with you? Sipping on that.
Everything is good.
Tequila.
Everything is good.
Yeah. Back in the city?
Back in the city. You already know, ripping and running.
Yeah.
Wherever the money call, that's where I'm going. You know what I mean?
You stay moving around, man. You just came back. You were supposed to come through a couple weeks ago, but you had the billboard in Times Square.
Yeah, we had the billboard in Times Square.
Yeah.
Plug in Cuba premiere December 4th. You know what I'm saying? Me and my boy, Don De Niro. Shout out Don De Niro, my big Cuban homie.
Yeah.
You know, we just advertising and moving in the right direction right now.
Yeah, that's dope, man. It was good to see a big-ass billboard in Times Square. How'd that shit feel? I see you down here taking pictures and shit.
It's an accomplishment, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of things that regular artists in the street don't get to do on a, you know, lower level, or things that I dreamed of accomplishing when I was younger.
Yeah.
So to see my shit on a billboard in Times Square,
yeah,
the city I'm from, and that's like the height of advertisement.
Facts.
In the world,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, the United States of America. So
that's where the ball dropped New Year's Eve.
It definitely was a good feeling.
And that was for the song that we just heard, right?
Yep.
Plug in Cuba.
Yep.
Yeah, where can they find that?
They can find that on all major platforms streaming right now. Apple, Spotify,
yeah,
everything. You know what I'm saying? iTunes.
That song is fire. The video was dope, too. You dropped it recently.
Yeah, the original video, Plug in Cuba, we shot in Cuba. And then when we did the remix with my man Don De Niro, we shot it in Miami.
Yeah, both them videos fire.
Yeah, we wanted to do some shots in Cuba too,
yeah,
but due to the pandemic and everything, we had to, you know, stay close or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Times Square billboards, that's dope, man. I seen that shit, I was like, that's major for a kid from New York to see his billboard up there in Times Square. That's really major, bro.
Major accomplishment. Felt good, and it just, the crazy thing about me is like I'm always want to, you know, extend a hand to help other artists. So
yeah,
for certain things that I feel for myself, I want to present to other artists that I see that was in at a point that I was in,
right?
And it took me years to get to that point, so I want to help other artists get to that point even quicker.
Yeah.
So when I got certain opportunities presented to me, I started reaching back out to people that I seen that's in the same footsteps in the path that I was in, like, yo, I can do this, and that for you. You know what I'm saying? And I want to be able to help other people.
Because a lot of times, niggas don't want to look back in, because they're so caught up in what they got to do. It's rare niggas look in their rear view and be like, oh, look, let me help the nigga behind me real quick.
That's a fact. You got to always remember your roots, where you came from, where you started from, and, you know, what you started for.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go through certain experiences, you know, when you leveled and you,
right,
you don't want other people to experience certain things, and you want them to get to certain points quicker.
Exactly.
And, you know, people will remember you, and it's beneficial to you, actually, in the long run.
Facts. People don't understand that. It's like, if you help somebody, a lot of times they're going to help you right back, most of the time, you know what I mean? Especially if you're helping the right ones.
Yeah, and even if they don't help you back, you know what I'm saying?
Somebody
that energy is put in the universe. So by you doing good, you know, good going to come back to you tenfold.
That's the jewel you just dropped. Because a lot of times people be mad, like, yo, I helped that nigga out, he didn't help me out. It's like, so what? So
big
what
fact.
If he ain't help you out? Some way that shit is coming right back to you.
Yeah, big facts. I see a lot of people, like, advertising their stuff on social medias and everything, and I see them taking low blows at their family and their friends, like, oh, you don't do this for me, you don't do that for me. But, you know, artists don't come to the realization that you don't really make a strong living or be super successful off of your family supporting you, you know, with money or your friends. It's about strangers supporting you, you know, and you getting your music or whatever talents you have to present to the masses.
Exactly.
That's when you get successful. It's not successful within your family or within your friends or within a small circle of 100 people.
Right.
That's not going to work. Everybody, if all your friends and all your family buy your music for $5, $10, $15, $20, what position would that put you in right now?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You might end up with $3,000, $5,000.
Yeah,
but
it's not enough.
Yeah, you need the masses of people that don't even know you that built up a perception and a persona of you in their head to be like, oh, okay, I'm feeling this.
Or right.
This type of music might help me get through these certain hardships in my life or these certain feelings that express that I can't express myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, that's real.
Yeah.
Now, you were just in St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
You travel a lot.
I love to travel. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Same here, man. Traveling all over the world. I love that shit, man. That's the, but what happens with the COVID? Like, how, what steps do they take to travel? Like, you went to St. Croix. What they do?
Yeah, well, I went to St. Croix, so we had to get a COVID test no longer than 5 days. So between 1 and 5 days prior to flying to St. Croix. And then once you fly to St. Croix, they test you again. They land the plane on the tarmac. They test you again before they allow you to even come into the airport to enter into St. Croix.
That's smart.
So once you enter into St. Croix, you know, you know, everything was good. But yeah, we had, you know, a small group of people. We got tested and then we all went to the same space. And we wasn't really running around the country that much. We was just staying at the same, you know, house or whatever, the Airbnb, and just enjoying each other's time, you know, without having to wear masks and everything for a few days.
Yeah. Now, I got introduced to your music, like, back in the day. My sister, Rob, was like, yo, you got to fuck with this nigga Benny. When I was doing the street DVDs, she was like, you got to put him on there. You got to link up with him. I heard your mixtape, and I was like, this nigga's really rapping, though.
That's a fact. Rob's real, so real recognize real.
That's a fact.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, the type of stuff that I do, she recognized it, and, you know, she always been a helping hand and beneficial to me and try to push me forward, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
that's dope, because I got a sister named Rob. You got a brother named Rob. Free Rob. Free the homie Rob.
Free Rob.
Crazy thing is, he was locked up with my man Debo.
Yeah.
And Debo hit me one day. I had... They was both locked up, and he hit me like, yo, bro, I got this nigga in here saying his cousin throw parties at Apostrophe on Friday nights. Don't you do that? I'm like, yeah. I was like, who's his cousin? He was like, Fresh. I was like, yeah, that's my man. That's who I throw the parties with. Yeah. And that's how they got
Street
cool.
Family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm like, that's crazy. The cousins is in there, and these niggas linking up. That's crazy. But what's up with Ra? Ra good? Shout out to Ra.
Ra good. Shout out to Ra. Hopefully he be coming home next month. You know what I'm saying? Next court date next month. Hopefully my boy be coming home in less than a month. You
know I hope saying? So, man. Ra's a good dude, man.
Fact, very good dude.
You see, you got a clothing line coming up.
I got IB New York clothing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody go online at @I_BE_NY.
Yeah.
Definitely some dope fashion, something for everybody to rock, you know what I'm saying? Just check it out. Definitely dope fashion.
Entrepreneurship runs in your family because your brother got a clothing line too, right?
100%.
What's his shit? Plug his shit too.
Yeah, So True. So True Clothing, you know what I'm saying? And then we got Granny Boys. All of that falls under the umbrella. My mom's nickname is Granny.
You know what I'm saying?
So everything like falls under that umbrella. Yeah, you got Granny Boys, poets, rappers, clothing lines, everything.
What's your Instagram? Can they follow you?
My Instagram is at @Benny_Bermuda. BENY_BERMUDA.
And being a rapper, man, it's kind of dangerous, especially nowadays, bro. Niggas getting clipped left and right, going to jail. Like
100%. It's always been dangerous, you know what I'm saying? But it's even more dangerous now because, you know, people got a certain understanding of recognition, like even back then, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of us, we like to stay grounded to our roots.
Yeah.
So a lot of people reach certain heights and they still feel like they have to be around certain people or be in certain hoods, or they have an obligation to certain people,
right?
You know what I'm saying? To, you know, just maintain the benefits of thinking they, you know, the quotations of keeping it real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So once you reach, you know, points of making hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, or, you know, being around other people that don't really have them type of benefits like you,
yeah,
you know, they start looking at you differently.
You like start to look like a plate.
Yeah, you definitely a plate because if you don't, you know, if you're not supplying people with certain things or they know that you got this and you got that and you around them,
yeah,
a lot of people don't understand, you know, they act, they start questioning God. Like, why he got that and I don't?
Yeah.
When, you know, under the surface, a lot of people don't know why God bless you with certain things.
Yeah.
They don't know the struggles and the hardships you've been through. Yeah. So they think that, oh, I deserve that shit more than him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not the case a lot of times. You don't know what a nigga been through.
Yeah. They don't see all them late nights you stay up, all them early mornings you get up while them niggas asleep.
They don't know, bro. And they don't understand like the real situations that you went through in your life as well to orchestrate your raps for you to be to be a narrative of the hood or certain things that you've seen or certain situations that you actually experienced and went through that you did yourself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, put that in words and have the gift to put it in words for people to accept it. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand it.
I don't understand why rappers don't just fall the fuck back. Like, how many examples do we need to see of rappers, celebrities who just come back to their neighborhood and get killed? And a lot of times, the meaning as well. Like, for example, Nip, he was just trying to better his community and then just take one hating ass nigga to get him out of there.
Yeah, just take one.
Even with King Von, one small fight turned into him getting clapped and killed. Like, it just, how do you move around? Like, do you move a certain way or do you watch what you do or do you chill? Like,
You got to keep the circle extremely tight. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep the circle extremely tight and then you have to put certain priorities in place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of niggas will go, you know, they'll spend $1 million or $100,000, let's say $100,000. They'll spend $100,000 on the chain versus $100,000 bulletproof in their vehicle.
That's a fact. You know what I'm saying? That's the dumbest shit you could do.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's just not set up in unison. Like, you got to do step one before you get to step two, not step three and then go back to step one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just makes sense. It's just like a lot of people that, you know, they build up major businesses, you know, like we had Black Wall Street and everything. And, you know, we got bombed and, you know, they took a lot of things from our people back then. But it's because we didn't have a military set in place.
Yeah.
When you set forth to have certain things that's beneficial to people and that's valuable, of value.
The foundation got
to
be right.
You got to have something to protect that. So you don't want to build value and then get something to protect it. You want to put the protection in place and then build the value.
Right.
It's just like if you're going to build a mansion or a resort.
Mm-hmm.
When you build a resort, you want to build a wall around it.
Yeah.
First things first. Hey. You want to build a foundation to build a wall around it so that when you put your valuables inside of this wall, it's protected.
Right.
You don't want to put the valuables and then shit gets stolen and then at the end you try to build a wall.
Because now it's ass backwards.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Hey. I remember I said it in one of these episodes when I had the Caprice, I put rims on it and then before I put an alarm on it. And literally I put the rims on it Friday, my car got stolen Saturday.
Wow.
And I didn't have an alarm on it. But just being young and dumb, but like you said, you got to learn how to move right. I should have put the alarm on it and got all the security settings right
first.
And then put the fucking rims on it. Like, even when it got stolen, my pops was like, why didn't the alarm go off? And it hit me. I'm like, I'm slipping big time. Like, but, you know, you live and you learn.
Yeah, it's just certain situations that we learn, you know, coming up and out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's certain things that you got to unlearn.
Right.
So just our you know, our thoughts, the way we're trained with our thoughts is just, we so fast to rush to shine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we come from nothing. So we rushing to shine.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of us focusing so hard on shining, we don't see the other things that comes with the shining.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got responsibility for shining.
Exactly.
You got responsibility.
Every level you go up, the haters, it's all type of shit that comes with it. Like, people only look at the good sides of it, but they never analyze all the bad shit that comes with it. 100%. And you said something smart. Like, we got to unlearn a lot of shit. If anybody out there who reads or listens to audiobooks, there's a book by Humble a Poet called Unlearn. Mm-hmm. And that shit is just a dope book. Like, if y'all fuck with books, check out that book by Humble a Poet. It's called Unlearn.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's crazy, bro. Like, I think And remember growing up, like, we're from the era to where, like, speaking of the locks and shit, like, we were talking about in pre-production, you fuck with them heavy. I see you around them a lot.
Yeah, I like the locks. That's like, one of the groups that, you know, grew me as far as an artist and, you know, inspiring me.
Yeah.
You know, besides, my brothers was the most inspiring to me. You know, they make me get into rap or whatever from watching them and watching the moves they make.
Yeah.
But definitely one of my most favorite groups is the Lox because of how many years went by and they stuck together and how raw they was at street.
They didn't let the industry break them up.
Nah, the industry didn't break them.
And see, being the fact that they're street, remember they used to be on it heavy, like, we don't need security, no security.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, you need security. Like, what's wrong with having security? Like,
You need security. Like from our time,
From
our time in the golden era in the 90s and everything, you know, people had a level of respect and they respect you. Like, you know, even shooters.
Right.
Like, a shooter see somebody that they want to get.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yo, I could get homie right now.
Yeah.
But my man Mez Moms is right there. Yeah. I'm not about to shoot around Mez Moms.
Yeah.
So they'll just leave it. But off of just the strength of respect for you.
Exactly.
But we in a, you know, our culture and especially hip hop is forever changing.
Yeah.
So right now it's to a point where a lot of people don't respect the same street rules as 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
So a nigga know you and they see your moms right there, but they like, nah, I gotta get this nigga. I'm getting him right now. I don't care if Mez Moms right there. I'm not shooting her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how people look at stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, back then, you say, I don't need security because people respect you a certain way and you know the street rules.
Yeah.
And we stuck to the script.
Yeah. And not everybody had a camera too back then.
These niggas don't stick to the script now, son.
It's, niggas that pull out a camera if they see somebody beefing. Yeah, it's like, damn, bro, you about to record a crime? Like, really?
100%. Niggas don't stick to the script.
Yeah, like.
I'm not even trying to shun out the young niggas, but I feel like the OGs dropped the ball somewhere.
Yeah.
Point blank.
Period. Nah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Believe that,
there's something that's not bridging the OGs to the young niggas. I don't know what it is, you know what I'm saying? But there's something not bridging it, and the OGs just dropped the ball. Yeah.
I think a lot of these young OGs are starting to realize that shit, and they're really looking back and trying to give game to the youth now, which it's important. Like, but like you said, how same what you were saying earlier, like you turn around and look back at the people coming up, and you try to give them the game, whether that's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But
100%.
I got a couple questions that some of the listeners sent in. You seen that shit with the on Instagram recently? The chick who played a trick on her dude, act like it was another dude in the bed
with the dummy.
He shot up the bed.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up with chicks doing playing these games? Like, niggas would do anything for the gram now. Like, you
That's
want
crazy.
Views that bad? Like, so if, for anybody who hasn't seen it, she, you know, she put a dummy in the bed and she let her boyfriend, husband, whoever he was, walk in. And he literally pulled out his gun and started shooting at the bed.
I thank God that he shot the dummy up and not her.
Yeah. Oh, that could have went really bad.
Because you can't, you know, to me, love is the strongest force.
Yeah.
When you love something.
Right.
You know, you would take certain things to the extreme. And when emotions take over without you thinking.
Yeah.
He might have thought, yo, she got a dude in the bed.
Yeah.
I'm going to come kill both of them. So soon as he seen her. He could have shot her up and then went to shoot the dummy up and pull the covers back and was like,
and so it was
oh, it's a dummy.
Yeah.
But, you know, another thing is she know how crazy her dude is.
She got to know.
Women know us better than we know ourselves
when
they are women because they place close attention.
Right.
So by him doing that, just by him shooting up in that neighborhood, the police could have came and arrested him and put him in a situation that he didn't need to be in.
Exactly.
And in these days and times, we don't, you know, our culture, we don't need no contact with police right now. Because the smallest thing could escalate into us losing our life.
Exactly. You know she played saying? That shit really bad. Like, all for likes and just to post some shit on the gram and go viral. I mean, it went viral, but ain't no tell he could catch a case off of that. Anything could happen. That shit is literally out there for him to catch a case.
It's out there. That shit is viral, you know, and that it can get extreme to a point where it don't need to be. You know what I'm saying? And God forbid if that was actually a person, you know,
damn,
a homie would have been dead. The dude who shot would have been in jail. And Shorty would have been with another dude in less than 2 weeks. Let's keep it 100.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks, another dude would have been between her legs.
That's sad, but a lot of times that's what happens. A nigga die, the other nigga go to jail, and she moving on living her life. Mm-hmm. She might send you a little bit of bread in the commissary, which starting
mean,
off,
which
but
don't mean much when you when
you facing 25 to life,
and your freedom gone
over some stupid shit too. Like that shit was totally unnecessary. She could have changed that man's life. She could have changed her life. Mm-hmm. But would you rather, like, if you had to be in that situation, like, let's just say you had to walk in on your girl cheating, would you rather walk in on her cheating on you, like, in your bed, or would you rather find out? If you had to find out one way, right? Would you rather walk in on her cheating on you, or would you rather see a video that went viral of your girl cheating on you?
Mm. Neither.
Nah, of course, neither.
I'm going to keep it 100. Neither. I can't even answer that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want no queen that I'm with. You know what I'm saying? Of course, as a man, you know, that definitely, whether somebody say it or not, you know, that plays a role in on your, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want nobody be out there cheating on you and everybody find out, you know what I'm saying? But I definitely wouldn't want it public to be embarrassed.
Bingo.
But I also wouldn't want to walk in on a situation like that.
Because it could get ugly.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's just decisions that had to be made right then and there.
Yeah.
And with me having a female cheat on me.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I'm just walking away, like. It don't get that major to me.
Yeah.
If I walk in on some shit like that,
yeah,
it's like, all right, shorty, I'm gone. Cause this ain't the type of shorties I'm dealing with.
Facts.
I'm not putting myself in jail for you.
Yeah.
I'm not killing a nigga for you. You know what I'm saying? I will kill a nigga over you if a man disrespect my woman.
Yeah.
You know, it's certain things, you know, certain lines you're not supposed to cross.
Yeah,
you know
I can feel that.
But I'm not going, if you cheating on me,
hey, go kill the nigga.
Why would I throw my life away because you cheating on me? Mom, out. You good?
Yeah.
Because the nigga that you cheating on me with, he seen that, he ain't going to have the level of respect for you because he like, oh, yo, she cheat. I'm just here. I'm beating that up.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of niggas would throw away their whole life on
it. I'm not throwing my life away because chick is not. You know, they don't take your life into consideration if they put you in certain situations. Like, I never put a female in that situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, ain't no telling, though. Like, sometimes you never know. You might have, because what's the crime of passion? Like, a lot of times, if you walk in on some shit like that, your emotions could take the best of you, and you might do some wild shit, and might air out the whole room.
That's true.
But, you know what I'm saying? Just based on your emotions. But if you could sit there and analyze, like, wow, she playing me. All right, I'm out of here. If you could do that, that's the best move. But sometimes the emotions will get over you.
Yeah.
But what else you got going on? You got a new single coming soon, right?
I got a new single coming out January 2021 called YouTube.
Yeah.
Fire.
I don't know when I'm going to drop this, so it might be out by the time I drop
Fire.
This. Matter of fact, can we play at the end of this track? Because, you know, we got an outro music, too.
If you do, Maz, you'll be the first. You'll be the first.
It's called YouTube, you said, right?
YouTube.
We definitely got to play that, man.
It's crazy. It's the epitome of East New York.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm sticking to the script all the way.
Now, when you get in the studio, what's your train of thought? Like, do you just sit there and listen to the beat and then write some shit? Because sometimes I know a lot of people just write in their head, and then when they hear a good beat, they're like, yo, I'm gonna just throw them bars onto that. Or is it always some new shit that you write to this?
Most of the time when I write, it's not in the studio. I like to be alone with my thoughts, you know, when I'm in that zone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I have finished product, I like to run up in the studio and go ahead and lay it down. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
That's my process. I used to just write all day, you know. But as I got older, I started like getting production from certain people. I started getting production from certain people and saying, yo, this is, you know, I like to have the beat and then let the beat feed me what to write. You know what I'm saying? Then once I write, I feel like the studio is made for the actual work of recording.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Every once in a while, I get with a producer and I get in the studio and they'll play me something. And I'll be like, play this, play that, you know, just listen. And then I might go ahead and write a song right then and there and record it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's, you know, like I said, I like to be alone with my thoughts. So when I get work done like that in the studio with a producer, I'm not really alone with my thoughts because I like to shun you know, tune everything out when I'm writing.
Right.
So if I'm in the studio with a producer and they present a beat to me, I'm gonna have to shun them out while I'm writing. And I don't like to be around people, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, during your creative process.
Yeah, I like to be around myself, and that's it while I'm writing.
Yeah.
Because that way I don't have to focus on tuning nobody out. I'm by myself. I ain't got to focus on nothing but putting these bars together.
Right.
You know, and the message that I'm trying to get across to people.
How was East New York growing up?
East New York is the realest.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was crazy, you know, just being around. You know, as soon as you come outside, it's everything is in motion already.
Right.
I don't care if you come out in the morning or if you come at night.
It's always something going on.
It's always something going on. It's always people going. It's always people outside. There's drama outside.
Yeah.
There's fun outside. You know, there's friends that's close as family outside. You know what I'm saying? So East New York was like one of the best places to grow up ever. And everything was there to soak up like a sponge, whether it was good or bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So much people growing up around different friends, foes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a melting pot. You growing up around Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Jamaicans, Trinidadians, black people. You know, here and there, you might have a white person in the neighborhood, but
we didn't have no white people in the Bronx.
Bro,
it wasn't in my neighborhood, I should say.
Yeah, it wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavy white, but every once in a while you'll run into a white person, but the white person will never be like
white. Yeah.
They'll never be white. They'll be just like intertwined with our culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What about Asians? They had Asians?
Yeah, we had Chinese people too.
Yeah.
You had Chinese people, Japanese people, but they really didn't intertwine with us that hard.
Yeah.
But we always had them.
Yeah, yeah, that's how the Bronx was. But they was hood. Like, it wasn't like, of course, our generation, like the ones that were around our age, they were hood.
Yeah,
like,
they grab our culture, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't really have no other choice. If they didn't grab our culture, then it was definitely hard to get acceptance.
Yeah, because you know the Bronx was literally like just nothing but immigrants. And then everybody around my age was just like their parents. Everybody's parents they were pretty much first generation, and their parents, you know, they just came straight from another country, whether like all the places you named.
Yeah. That's a lot of things that helped New York be at the forefront of a lot of shit, because we got everything in one place.
Exactly.
So when we growing up and being social,
right,
we being social with so many different cultures that we getting everything at one time growing up, and it's shaping and forming us. So by the time that we just like on a straight whatever.
Exactly.
It's like everything is just there.
Like you learn everything. You learn, you might even speak some Spanish. Like you'd be surprised who speaks Spanish, who might pick up on a few things.
Yep.
I remember one time when I moved down here, I was working with these two cats. Matter of fact, they from St. Croix, which is crazy you just saying that.
Wow.
They from St. Croix, and I had this some shit, and then they speaking in patois in front of me,
because
they're not thinking that I'm understanding. So I'm listening to them. I'm like, oh, these niggas think they slick. They talking about me.
Yeah.
So I start fucking with them, speaking back, you know, just fucking with them. And I told them everything they just said. Them niggas was looking like, what the fuck? Like, how do you know what we were saying? I'm like, nigga, I grew up in the Bronx. Like, it's nothing but every race
Bronx,
you can think
New
of.
New York, shit happens.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, Fat Joe. Shouts to Fat Joe. All right, so we're going to get a little bit deeper into knowing you. Finish the sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hate when people.
I hate when people misinterpret who I am.
As far as what? Like, you get misunderstood a lot?
Yeah. You know, like, when people feel like they could play with you a certain type of way.
Mm.
And then they find out that they shouldn't have.
Yeah. Because you come off real cool. Like, you always come through, show mad respect, love. Mm-hmm. That's always what you lead on.
Yeah. When I grew up, when I was young, I was a super wild nigga. Like, if you go back to my hood, people that's still there, they'll tell you, like, all of the crazy, like, how wild I was and shit that I did. And, you know, when a lot of them see me that haven't seen me in years, they see me now, they be like, damn, you mad calm, you know, because I learned to curb that shit. But
you gotta
I don't let nobody cross me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I demand my respect, but I also give respect. Yeah. I like to give respect just as well as I demand it.
Yeah, because if you grew up in the same house as Ra, because Ra, your brother, Free Ra, that nigga's a wild boy.
Y'all don't even understand. My bro,
the nigga who was locked up with is a wild boy. So when he's telling me like, yo, homie.
Ra's wild.
Yeah.
Listen, my brother Ra, every wild nigga will tell you that Ra is wild.
And that's what happened. My man's telling me, I'm like, damn.
My brother's one of the wildest niggas you ever know. Yeah. Like, I seen my brother, like, me too. Like, we fought police, all of that shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Ra's one of the wildest niggas you ever know.
But he's like you. Like, but he's when you see him, that's what I'm saying. Like, so when I met him, I'm like, he seems so cool and like he don't seem, but my man, my man's wild. So when he's like, this nigga's wild, I'm like,
if you rub Ra wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you fucked up.
Yeah.
If you rub Ra wrong, you fucked up. Yeah. Like,
but he used to come through him. He was out for that short bit. Like, he would come through my parties. He'd be right in the corner laughing, joking with me. I'm like, this the coolest nigga ever.
Cool nigga.
Yeah.
But if you
if
you go left.
Yeah, he gonna go extra left.
He gonna go left in a full circle.
Yeah.
you fucked up.
That's crazy. Yeah, so now that happens. All right, so then, if you can see anyone perform, matter of fact, or if you can do a song with anybody dead or alive, who would you pick? Like, you could pick anybody right now, they're going to do a song with you.
Damn, if I could do a song with anybody dead or alive?
Yeah.
I like Common.
Yeah.
I like Big L.
Ooh, Big L, that was my nigga.
Definitely like the God Rakim.
Yeah.
KRS-One.
Mm.
Kool G Rap.
Yeah.
He
don't get the love he's supposed to get.
Nah, he don't. I love Migos. I would love to do a song with Migos.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They definitely got that radio and that club bounce. You know, Pusha T.
Yeah.
I could name a lot of people. Big.
If you had to just pick one.
If I had to pick one.
Right now, you're going to do a song with him.
Mm.
Think of everybody. Bob Marley. It could be anybody.
Mm.
And it could change tomorrow. Like, just right now, who would you think of?
I'd probably go with the God Nas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I think that from the Golden Era. From the Golden Era, Nas is the god.
Nas is the
top dog that don't get the recognition of being the top dog from my era.
Yeah.
He the top dog, you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
He actually, Kool G Rap was the one who changed hip hop from that bounce shit to actually being lyrical.
Yeah.
Kool G Rap and Kool Moe Dee. But I think that Nas is... I think that he was the spark plug to the Golden Era. Like when he came out in what he came out, 93? I think he came out 93, then Big came out 95, and Jay came out 96. Those was always the top three that we always talk about.
Big was 94, I think. Yeah.
To this day, probably 94. You know, but we talk about them to this day.
Yeah.
You know, like the top three rappers in our era was Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas.
Right.
But I feel like God was the I feel like Nas was the top because
at that time
he had knowledge of self.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think that Big and Jay had the knowledge of self that Nas had.
Yeah.
They definitely had the talent set in place. It was God-given.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think that Nas just had the knowledge of self with the God-given talent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like he was ahead of his time.
And knowledge of self, that was major. Like, how did religion play a part in your growing up?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even, to me, it's not even religion. It's just a way of life, you know what I'm saying, of being conscious and being aware of certain things.
Yeah.
And Nas was aware of a lot of things that it took other people 20 years to get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, he was with the, he was learning the lessons of the five percenters and all that.
Yeah, he had the, you know, the knowledge itself is definitely...
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It plays a it gets you grounded,
right?
And building your foundation to be aware and be sharp and be on point and just more conscious of everything that's going on around you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people didn't have that of being conscious of everything that was going on around them. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people was just focused on what they was focused on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I just see something different in Nas. I love Nas. You know what I'm saying? I grew up on his music and. it definitely touched me in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? It definitely was inspiring.
One word to describe you.
Superior.
It's a good answer.
Yeah, I think I'm superior. I think I'm a one of one. You know what I'm saying? And I think that the situation that I'm put in is just meant for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that I'm being sharpened for a certain situation that nobody else ever been in.
Yeah. It's crazy because you would pop up in the city just out the blue before COVID, of course, and you'd just be like, yo, Maz, what up? What you getting into? I'm like, I'm just chilling at the crib. You're like, yo, meet me this place.
Yeah.
We link up, and then we in there, we know damn near half the place, people in there.
Yeah.
What was that night? The last time I think we linked up, we went to Stats. Remember that? You hit me out the blue, like, yo, I'm in the city. Remember, you know where Stats is at?
Yeah,
remember?
I know where Stats is at. Are we I'm trying to remember that night because it was so many it nights was, yeah, I hit you up. Exactly, like, yo.
Pull up.
My favorite night I remember was your birthday when we was at Apostrophe.
Yeah, that should be them nights be legendary.
Oh
Apostrophe,
my God, bro. So many niggas. It's so many nights, man.
Like. We'd be in there twisted.
Yeah.
All right, so if you could spend a day with anybody, dead or alive, who would it be? Just to spend a day with them, and it could be a family member, it could be somebody you never met, it could be anybody.
Elijah Muhammad.
Oh yeah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
The Most Honorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was taught by God himself in person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to know, you know, I would love to have pivotal points of the things that he learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, the how and why.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to be around him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I tried it because I'm not big on, I don't have the time to just sit there and read because I want to read Message to the Black Man.
Oh, you got to read that, bro.
That's a long book, bro. I tried to get that.
It's a message to you. You can read it in 2-3 days.
Yeah.
Just take the time out, bro.
Right.
You can read it in two, three days.
Because I tried to do it.
I've read it multiple times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I tried to do the audiobook, but the crazy thing is no platform has the audiobook. I'm like,
bro,
how y'all going to hide that one?
That's how official the book is.
Yeah.
They don't want us to read that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's so simple. And the message in there is for you.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get that.
The things that Elijah Muhammad was teaching about in the 30s
is
coming to light right now.
Yeah.
And by me being grounded and knowing them things and reading them things from being before I was a teenager, nothing is a surprise to me right now.
Yeah.
I already knew that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Everything that's happening, I already knew it was going to happen. It's not even a surprise to me. I was ready for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why it was a message to us. Because we was the bottom.
Right.
And we meant to be the top. So we next. So
how do you feel about Malcolm X, you guys?
I love Malcolm X, bro.
Yeah.
You know, he had his little situations and, you know, things that was supposedly against the Nation of Islam.
Right.
But I feel like every organization inside, they have
turmoil.
They turmoil you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They have misinterpretations.
It's like family.
It's like family.
Every family has beef.
But to me, the thing that I got out of it of, you know, just reading and sitting back and watching everything is that family business is family business. It ain't nobody else fucking business what's going on in the family.
Yeah.
If me and my brother got beef in this house or we going through something else, going through something, it's nobody else fucking business.
Right.
We deal with this in-house and we handle it and deal with it and boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
It don't matter what nobody else think outside. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I know that he had the best interest for our people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same way Elijah Muhammad had the best interest for our people. Same way Louis Farrakhan got the best interest for our people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't bend, break, or fold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody can't buy them. You know what I'm saying? They do what they do for us, and they speak truth to power regardless of the consequences.
Yeah. Mm. It's crazy because a lot of times, a lot of black leaders, I always be thinking, like, how come they ain't never tried Louis Farrakhan?
Oh, he been tried.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm in-house, so... Yeah. There's like I said, house family business is family business.
Right.
I know a lot of shit that took place that a lot of people in the public eye don't know what took place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's none of everybody's business.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, he's been tried. He gets tried a lot.
Right.
And he just don't bend or fold because he's backed by a higher power.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, did you grow up on like in a Muslim family, or is it something that just like, is it your generation or is it your parents' generation? Like,
my mother, my Uncle Phil, God rest his day, you know, may Allah be pleased with him. He passed away, but he's the one who originally got my family into Islam.
Yeah.
You know, and I was born in a nation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born in a nation. Like, I've been in the street and all that shit, like, hard body.
Yeah.
But my foundation is a foundation nation. You know what I'm saying? Like, my family is well respected in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Hard body. But we got both sides. We got knowledge of self and we got that street shit in us.
Right.
You know, it just happened like that.
Yeah, because anytime I see any of your videos, you just be moving through, everything be smooth, you pop up dodo. That's why I want to ask you, like, if, with the amount of moving around you do, I see you by yourself a lot.
Yeah, I'm you know, not trying to toot my own horn. I'm smart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got safety precautions set in place.
Yeah.
You know, I got shit around me that people don't see, but I got a different type of energy moving with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I'm always good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really got to do too much. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got a different type of protection.
And it's not only in this city. Like, even when you pop up in different cities.
Different countries.
Oh, true. Yeah, exactly. Different countries. Yeah.
Yeah.
You global. I'll see your video. You in Cuba one minute. You know what I mean? You're moving around. So that's what's up, though. Mm-hmm. If you could go back 5 years and give yourself some advice, what would you have told yourself?
Do it now.
Yeah?
Do it now. Yeah? Like, what you waiting for?
Yeah.
Like, what? do it now. There's nothing stopping you.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
And that can go for anybody. You could tell whoever, every entrepreneur that's listening right now, do that shit right now.
The stuff that I'm doing now, you know.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I always, I'm kind of a loner. A lot of niggas know me. I know a lot of people. I move around, but I like to stick to myself. But if I know, you know, I just never had nobody around me to tell me, yo, do it now.
Yeah.
You know? And I wish that I did it now.
5 years ago, if you could go back, you'd just
15. 15 years ago.
Yeah.
If I would have did what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Because it's easy. Because it's God-given.
Right.
The stuff that I'm doing is God-given. That means it's nothing that could stop it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that there's a position that I'm going to be in that's waiting for me that nobody can stop because the higher power got it in place for me already.
Right.
But I know that there was certain measures that I could have took back then that could have got me to where I'm going to be sooner.
Yeah. And it's a lot easier to get on nowadays too, right? How you feel about that? Like, you think it's easier to get on because you do a lot of that stuff yourself, like all your movements, or everything you put on, from the clothing brand to your music to everything you do. You do it on your own, or you have a team that helps you with everything?
I got a small team.
Yeah.
I got a small team, you know, but it's definitely easier to get on now doing certain things because we have the media. We got social media.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, back from the era I'm from, we didn't have social media. So everybody had to get out there and grind. You had to make your CDs. You had to burn your CDs. You had to be out in the streets selling your CDs. But now we got social media. So
streaming services.
So
where
you can put one thing out and it can reach the masses in one day. Not only in our country, but in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I remember, you know, at one point, in the golden era, you know, it's a small area that you could cover.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was harder work, but which makes you more appreciative.
The golden era, for those that don't know, is the 90s, basically.
Yeah, the 90s to 2000.
Yeah,
but like, for instance, if we was rocking a certain style in New York, you know what I'm saying? Not to put nobody down. To put nobody down in no other city, no other country, nothing.
Yeah.
But when New York or LA was on something, it would take like other cities and countries 20 years, 15 years to catch up and be like, oh, this is what they wearing now.
Yeah.
But now if a new style starts out,
Yeah.
I don't care what state it's in. But new styles start out right now in Iowa.
Yeah.
And they post it online and it's popping.
Yeah.
The whole world see, oh, this is the new style. Yeah. Now we wearing this.
Even slang. Slang does the same thing. Like, that is a Chicago thing. But right. That shit flew everywhere. Like, everybody uses that.
Mm-hmm. Whatever's the new trending thing that's popping.
Yeah.
It's like instantly to the world.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
It's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it waters down the uniqueness.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because if Louisiana get a new style of something.
Yeah.
And we say, yo, that's that Louisiana flow.
Right.
But when Louisiana do it now with social media.
Right.
Everybody else start doing it within 3 days.
A nigga from Cali can come out with
a nigga from Cali could do it, and he might do it better than the nigga just did in Louisiana 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And you like, nah, that shit started out here. Yeah. That shit ain't starting Louisiana.
Like drill music. Drill music was huge. Yeah. Like it started in Chicago. Mm. And then before you, well, some people would get mad because they're like, the UK started that. Mm-hmm. Because it sounded similar. But yeah. For, you know what I'm saying? But now you got Brooklyn drill. You got all type of niggas who be on drill music.
Yeah.
Like Fabio Foreign and them niggas.
Yeah. I just think social media is the gift and the curse. You know? I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
You know? It's
you got to take the good with the bad.
Got to take the, it's yin yang, bro.
Yeah.
Yin yang. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Social media is definitely a good tool. Like I was just, I'm on this app called Clubhouse. Have you joined it yet? Clubhouse?
I heard about it, but I didn't join it yet.
It's dope, but like I've been on there and somebody was just asking me how does it benefit or hurt your podcast? And I'm like, this shit's been dope. Like I'll jump on there and the same conversations I'm having with you, I'll just be in a room full of people talking about it. Mm-hmm. And people be like, oh, what's your name in your podcast? And it's gaining me traction just off of the app. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I was having a conversation. I could ask you about this shit. Matter of fact, if you're, this is one of the people asking me if, let's just say your girl, right? It's one of her homegirl's birthdays, right?
Mm-hmm.
She got let's just say her homegirl got a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, he hits her up. He's like, yo, come to this club. We over here. And she goes to their section, your girl with them. Would you be cool with that? Like, and it's her homegirl. It's like, they went out for her homegirl birthday.
And
it's
I'm like not there?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm good with that.
Niggas
yeah.
was getting mad about that. I'm like, what are y'all mad about? Like, what the fuck are y'all mad about?
I don't see nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah.
Everybody got to have their freedom. You know what I'm saying? Like, the majority of us was, you know, brought into this world by ourselves.
So right.
You got to have your freedom and then be able to put yourself in situations to where you have semi-freedom or no freedom if that's what you prefer. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like with relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like it's healthy for a man to always keep his woman up under him or keep her in the house.
It's not
or she
healthy.
Can't go nowhere without him.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I don't feel like it's good for a woman to keep her man in the house or you can't go nowhere without me.
Yeah.
You gotta give people that breather so that they can hit the reset button.
Yeah. One of the niggas on there was like, I'm gonna go out with her too. If it's the girl's not, I'm like, my nigga, yeah. you're gonna go out with
he don't
your
trust
girl.
His girl.
That's what that's I'm saying. Funny. I'm like, bro, you gotta trust her. Like,
he don't trust
so
her.
What if she's out and it's her homegirl birthday and they go in a section? It might be another nigga's section.
He might say he trusts her, but
he don't trust her by his actions.
She know that he don't trust her, and he could say he trusts in front of her. She might even agree with the nigga and not even tell him, nigga, I know you don't trust me because you don't let me rock.
And then everybody in that section, if you pop up, you look like a bozo to everybody in the room. It's like. Mm-hmm. How the fuck this nigga just pop up out here?
Looking crazy.
Yeah, and I'm not going in another nigga section either. If I don't know
that's
the nigga, like, how you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
It was niggas so mad about that shit. It was only a couple niggas who were like, so what? What's the big deal? Like,
I'm good.
Now, if she's.
I'm a live nigga. My girl don't even want to be in another nigga section. That's
now, if you're not there, I'm saying. But of course, if you there, she's not going to be hopping around section to section.
My nigga, my girl, any girl I ever fuck with, they don't even. A nigga could be super popular to me.
Yeah.
Famous. My girl don't even want to be in another nigga section without me. You know what I'm saying? I would have to tell any female fucker, yo, go ahead, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I have to tell them that.
Yeah.
They want to fuck with me. They like, yo, I don't need to be there. I'm with you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And if she want to be in another nigga section, they can have
go
her.
Go ahead. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not even.
Like if it's on deal. Some bird shit, like, because if she on some bird shit, you shouldn't be with her anyway. Like
right.
If you really got to clock your chick and figure out where she at, who she with, mm-hmm. who's in the room and all that, like. I don't know, like,
yeah.
But now, if she's hopping section to section every weekend, of course I'm gonna have a problem with that. If you and your girls are hopping section to section every weekend, then I'm gonna have a problem with it.
You ain't my girl.
Exactly. Like, hey, like,
point blank.
But if you just, this was girls night out, y'all go out and then y'all just happen to run into a homie or somebody like that. And then they was talking about work husbands. I'm like, what the fuck is a work husband?
Yeah, like, that shit funny to me.
Nah, it is funny, but
yeah, I enjoy watching shit like that on social media. Work husbands? Oh my God, that shit is funny.
You need to join the app then. Like, if you get in there, somebody send you an invite, join.
I'm thinking about it, man, because I keep hearing about it. You know what I'm saying? So I might go ahead and throw a page up.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I fuck with it. It's a dope app.
Yeah, the more coverage I can get, the better.
Exactly, because it's definitely helping that. You drink wine?
Yeah.
What's your, red wine or white wine?
I like sweet shit. So, you know, like red wine is, most of the time I drink red wine, it's more sour. You know what I'm saying? The white wine be a little more sweet. I like sweet shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As far as wine, anyway.
Because you fuck with that white Henny. That's your shit, right?
Oh, white Henny is number one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't fuck with the Deuce. You're the first Brooklyn nigga I ever heard that said don't fuck with the Deuce.
I fuck with the niggas behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I like my Brooklyn niggas. Shout out to Bleak. Shout out to Jay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's just, you know, it's not for me.
What's your preferred drink? Like, if you have to...
White Henny.
White Henny?
White Henny all the way.
Yeah.
That shit, it brings out the smooth beast.
Or, how you describe the taste? Like, pause. That sounds kind of crazy. But.
It's strong. It's strong, but it's,
yeah,
it's smooth. You know what I'm saying? Give you a nice buzz.
What else you got going on? What's coming up soon?
Man, I'm just focusing on that YouTube, January 2021.
Yeah.
I got some special things in the works. I might drop something crazy on Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
I might drop like a hood Christmas rap. I'm thinking about it. You know
so
what
it'll
saying?
Be out by the time this comes out.
It'll be out. It'll be, yeah, definitely. It'll be out Christmas Day if I decide to release. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's murder. And if I decide to drop it, it will be out Christmas Day. If I don't drop it, it'll be out next year Christmas. But most likely I'll drop it. But it's something crazy. Y'all gonna like it. I know y'all.
Would you ever like? Cause I know growing up in our era, it wasn't cool to be around police or fuck with anything associated with that. Would you be cool with somebody that was a probation officer?
I never been cool with nobody that was a probation officer. I don't fuck with 12.
Yeah.
But I have people that's in my family that's police.
Yeah.
You know,
how do you treat them? Like
people that's close. It's something weird about it. Like, you know, like when you fuck with somebody, family is family.
Exactly.
You know, but when you accept being, I'm gonna just say the ops.
Yeah.
When you accept being the ops, something about me rubs me a certain way that I have to limit a certain access of myself to you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because they got this shit called the blue line. You know, police and shit, they don't cross the blue line. No matter if you family, friends, whatever.
Yeah.
They feel like they have a certain importance to be more for the gang than for their own blood or their own family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I will fuck with you a certain way, but I know that I keep that in mind. When I'm talking to you, nigga, you blue line, nigga.
Yeah.
So it's certain shit that I can't talk to you about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got to keep it. You know what I'm saying? There's a margin that I have to follow with your ass.
Now, I could see where you're coming at, because it was a dude that was cool with my sister. I spoke on it on a episode, the snitching episode in season one.
Mm-hmm.
He was cool with my sister. I think he was cool with Fev. And just one night, late night, I was coming home on Almar Road. I turned on Farm Pond, and I see the cop car hit a U-E. And I knew there's nobody. It's like 3-4 in the morning. There's nobody on the streets. I see him hit a U-E, bust a U-E. And I knew he was coming for me, so I booked it. Because at the time I wasn't right. so
you might like I could peel out the nigga might chill. You don't see me in 2 miles, you might turn around.
I'm out. So he finally get behind me and he had no reason to hit Buster U. It was just because of the car that I was in. I was in a Caprice. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a it's yeah, perceived
that's a high
to be
profile
a high,
where we at.
Exactly. Yeah, so the nigga flies up behind me, gets behind me, and I literally pull over right as soon as I get to my crib. I try to open my door, and he hops out. I didn't know it was him at the time. He didn't know it was me. Mm-hmm. He hop out, dude in the passenger seat hops out. They get, he's like, get in the car, get in the car. Nigga, when we saw, when we met, when I made eye contact with him, it was the weirdest feeling in the world, my nigga. He was mm-hmm. just like, I was like, what would you pull me over
nigga
for?
Police.
Yeah,
he police.
He's police right now. Yeah, and I'm like, police. Yo, this is crazy. He's like, get your tail light. He said something like your tail light or your license lights. He said some bullshit and yeah. just was like just you good. But in my head, I'm like, damn, nigga, you really were just profiling me. And but yeah. me and him would have conversations. I would laugh and joke with him. Mm-hmm. But then when, like you said, when he was in that blue, he was literally profiling. And he's yeah. black, though. He's a black dude.
Yeah.
And it was like, damn,
nah,
nigga.
Man, I'm going to keep it 100, man. The niggas that I got in my family and shit that's in law enforcement, you know, yeah. if I run into a situation with the law, I'm not calling them.
Yeah.
Because... you know, the side that they chose, I don't even want to put them in a position to have to choose sides. Yeah. Because if I put them in a position to have to choose sides, then guess what? They're going to choose the blue line. They're not going to cross the blue line.
Yeah.
And I don't want to look at them a certain way. So I just keep them out of that situation of me having certain feelings towards them. Like, I'm not even fucking with you. You know what I'm saying? Because I got people that's close to me, even friends. You know what I'm saying? That's yeah. police officers. Then I got people that was friends that was on the police force that quit the police force because they like, yo, nigga, that's not me. I'm not no blue line ass nigga. I know yeah. people who say, yo, fuck y'all niggas and left.
Yeah.
You know, but the people who stick with it, that's what they do. They blue line. They enjoy that shit. You know what I'm saying? They will literally go with the bullshit that they think will protect them mm-hmm. against their own family and their own blood and their own friends
yeah.
because they think that, yo, this is for me.
Yeah.
But guess what? Slip up one time and see how much that blue line fuck with you, because you're not the bleach color. You know what I'm saying?
And that's all right. So real. You got kids?
Yeah.
You got sons?
Yeah, I got a son and a daughter.
So what if your son told you one day, "Yeah, I want to be a police officer"?
I gotta accept it.
Yeah.
Like my son is my son. Like whatever he want to do.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. Like you know, like I would. Give him the forevision and the insight of whatever he want to do, but as a man,
yeah.
I will respect his decision.
Yeah, because like to me, I think our era we come from the same era. We cut from the same cloth, so mm-hmm. we were raised to not fuck with police, right?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you think that kind of hinders how we are today with police, like their relationship with us? The fact that we don't have anybody from our community or as many people from our community that understand us that are on the force. Like, yeah. don't you think we should have people from our community who are cut from our cloth to be police? That 100%. Way we don't have to get random killings and all that. Like somebody who understands me, how to speak my language, my lingo.
They would know how to deal with us. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like you gotta speak the language of the people.
Bingo.
If you didn't come up with a you know, the same upbringing
yeah.
or the same atmosphere and the type of things that we deal with that yeah. goes against us every day and the struggles that we got to deal with every day,
right.
you wouldn't know how to deal with us. So when you deal with something foreign, it's like I speak English
yeah.
and you speak Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And then I hear some shit you say and I think that yeah. my interpretation, I think that's what you said.
Like if I said something negro. And yeah. that just means black. But yeah. you might be like, oh, you said nigga?
Right. Yeah. So I don't know how to deal with that. So I right. might deal with it in a negative highlight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what's happening.
Exactly.
The people that's police is not from where we from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People are not policing their own neighborhoods.
Yeah.
They coming from different areas and policing us. You know, which is...
That's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
There's like a gap between us.
It's a super gap, bro. Yeah. And it just not.
But that's why I think we need to have more communication with police. Like before, if you speak to a cop, niggas will look at you funny. Like, look at this nigga talking to the police.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think we need more of that. That way it'll be like, let the cops come through and just. But then again, that can fuck up a lot of shit too with niggas who are street niggas who really can't have that type of shit.
Yeah, that's where you at. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like anytime a nigga see you sitting there conversating with police.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
First thing that pop up in the hood, nigga, is what the fuck is he talking to him about?
Exactly, yeah.
You could be talking to this nigga about, yeah, that ice cream.
Yeah.
ice cream.
They see you pointing.
This ice cream truck that come, that shit, they the best ice cream truck.
Exactly.
And niggas be like,
oh, he telling on
niggas. He telling niggas what's the best ice cream truck out here, nigga. Yeah, exactly. Don't tell niggas that. You know what I mean? Like, it's all type of
or
shit.
Or somebody might catch you pointing from a distance and like, yo, he might be telling on somebody from building three.
God. You can't have niggas. You can't have niggas. You got to live here.
Yeah.
You can't have niggas saying certain things about you in the neighborhood. You got to live here. That police officer going home at night, nigga. You here.
And
you
he going somewhere.
You might be putting your life in danger.
Yeah.
You know, which is, it's crazy because it shouldn't be like that.
That's what I said. That's my whole
it
point,
should,
bro.
Bro, it should not be like that. You know what I'm saying? But the communication, there's a miscommunication between us and fucking police.
Yeah.
We don't fuck with 12.
At
point
all.
Blank, period. You know what I'm saying? Because them niggas don't speak our language.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if they speak our language, there'll be a lot of problems that would be cut short immediately.
Quick,
because
fast.
The understanding would be in place and there wouldn't be us fucking losing our lives left and right for no apparent reason. Niggas is getting killed in front of their kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas is losing their lives. Regardless of what, a person could be hostile.
Yeah.
They losing their life. This is somebody's son.
Yeah.
This is somebody's daughter. This is somebody's father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And people are losing their lives. Something that they could never get back for foolishness. You know what I'm saying? When I was young, I remember when anytime you would hear of a shooting. You know what I'm saying? Police have a certain type of respect for us.
Yeah.
But anytime you would hear of a shooting, a police officer shooting somebody, they actually have training. They'll shoot a nigga in the knee.
Yeah.
Shoot a nigga in the calf just to take him down so they can arrest him.
Yeah.
But now the police shoot to kill.
Yeah.
They're not shooting you to stop you.
Right.
They shooting you to annihilate
you.
You're finished.
Yeah.
That you're finished. Whether... you know, it's so crazy and nervous and dangerous for us to have contact with a police officer because nowadays you don't even have to be doing nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Your skin color just don't got to be bleached and you can get killed.
You can
lose your life. And people don't understand from other neighborhoods. They think, you should have just complied. You don't even know what the fuck going on.
Yeah.
I did comply.
Yeah.
I got killed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But sometimes that nervous energy, like sometimes there's cops who are really just scary ass niggas. Like they
scared.
Pussy. So when they walk
you.
Up to something and they see your nervous energy, but you're only nervous because of what you see on TV, what you see all the time. And then they're looking at you like, oh, he might be nervous because he's up to something.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, that's still miscommunication based off of body language. So it's like, now you're scared of the cop, and now the cop is scared of you because he's like, why is he fidgeting? Why is he looking nervous?
Right.
And then it goes bad from over there. So communication, and there just has to be some type of shit that where we understand each other.
Right. I think that, you know, certain cultures need to deal with certain cultures. You know what I'm saying? Until there's a bridge of
understanding. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, the way that I grew up, I don't really see if I just let's say I decided to be a police officer.
Yeah.
I don't see me policing a Caucasian neighborhood.
Nah.
That or Indian neighborhood or a Japanese neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand their culture.
Right.
I don't speak their lingo.
Yeah.
I don't know how they grew up. I don't know about the struggles and certain things that they went through that made them who they are.
Yeah.
But in the black culture, because I'm black, you know what I'm saying? And I'm Puerto Rican, you know, by me growing up in that and knowing the foundation structure of what we go through that built us to be who we are, I know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If you had a cop that's from your neighborhood or something like that, he might pull you over and he'd be like, ain't you Miss Jones' son? Or, you know what I'm saying? And you build a rapport. You might be calm. You'll think twice about doing anything stupid. And he might have a leniency towards you.
He might understand.
Yeah.
He might be like, oh, you Miss Jones' son. Okay.
Yeah. Why you speeding?
I remember why you act. I know why you act like this.
Exactly.
Because your father did this 10 years ago.
Bingo.
That's why you did this. And it's really not that harmful. You just need a little bit of help. We're going to get you some help.
Yeah. And
you
sometimes if you give that man a felony or anything, just... take away his license, something that could really fuck him up.
It might get him straight.
Yeah, just give him that chance. But no, you're right about that, man. We definitely need better community. What do you think about defunding the police and the community? You know what I mean? Like policing their own community. Like, how do you feel about that?
I feel like it'd be a good thing, you know, like
as far as with the defunding or the actual community,
not
policing
community. Not so much as the defunding,
yeah.
But
because people misinterpret
I'm not
that.
Concerned with defunding,
right?
The police. I'm concerned with like we was just talking about, yeah. You know, certain cultures dealing with certain cultures.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because if the communication is not correct,
yeah,
then there's no understanding. You know what I'm saying? So Black people need to be in Black communities.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican people need to police Puerto Rican communities.
Right.
Japanese people need to police Japanese communities.
Yeah.
You know, and until we merge everybody to get certain understandings,
yeah,
I don't think that shit should be in the mix.
Yeah.
Because the mix is not good. You know what I'm saying?
Because there's no understanding.
There's no understanding.
Nah, that's real.
You know what I'm saying?
But what else? Let me see if I got anything else. Anything else you want to plug in, touch on before we wrap it up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, the new label, Brooklyn Global. I'm moving right now. I'm looking for new artists. So if you think you dope, you know what I'm saying, contact me on Instagram at Benny Bermuda, at B-E-N-Y underscore B-E-R-M-U-D-A.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for young artists, older artists, whatever, male, female. If you think you super dope, I'm looking for something unique, you know what I'm saying? Put you on the team and get things moving in the proper direction for you and for the benefit of myself, you know what I'm saying, the label as a whole.
Facts. I appreciate you pulling up on me, man.
You're ready, bro.
It's been long overdue.
Definitely.
And this song's called YouTube, man. Y'all fuck with it. Benny Bermuda. Y'all Google him. He got videos out there, music out there. Dope dude. I've been rocking with him for years and just been solid from day one. Shout out to the whole family, too.
100.
My nigga, YouTube. It's Mez Drinks and Chill. Y'all know where to find me, either Mez Black Label for the personal page or Mez Drinks and Chill for the podcast page. And we signing out. Benny Bermuda, YouTube.
YouTube.
This one right here gonna do a million views. Okay. All the ops is out here looking like civilian food. 10 p.m., you might just make the news. Okay. Laid on a stretcher with no shirt and shoes. Brooklyn Global, that's always been the focal. It's on to my bank account, it's looking like my social. The new whip opal, beef turned tofu. Bullets going in you like they out past curfew. Okay. This one right here gonna do a million views. I'm going dumb with the tool, a nigga missing screws. And I'm swimming in the money like I'm Mr. Scrooge. 20 cent, I'm fucking these down 2x2. Okay. The chain hanging like Saddam Hussein. This shit is dope, you feel it in your vein. Step in the club and then I merely rock. Bring them hoes to the gun range, we taking plenty shots. I spent a million on the milliwatch. Okay. So you know me and my niggas keep them semis cocked. Brooklyn, East New York, we never fuck around. Click, clack, pow, that's an officer down. This one right here going through a million views. This, that Mayweather flow, I could never lose. YouTube, 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 YouTube. It's smoke in the streets, put it in the air. Gas up the lid, put it in the air. Pendant on my neck, look like a chandelier. I'm the one, glass, very clear. Put it in the air like the air shooting through a flute. I'ma make my shooter shoot more rounds than the hula hoop. Hope you got your niggas with you, I'ma shoot them through the group. Cause you sweeter than the fruit and all your niggas fruity loop. Yeah, I'm the hottest nigga in my town. Raw as a whole brick, you don't gotta break it down. Plain rolly, I might flood it out and make it drown. My paper longer than your grandmother nightgown. Okay. I could bring the apes out and I could bring the wolves too. My gangster's unusual and respect is mutual. I'm neutral, them wolves want your head, I give approval. Okay. I'm from the hood, when I rhyme and I cook your noodle. I'm known to rip traps like a piece of paper. Benny flow harder than refrigerated now latest. They slept on me, so I let them snooze.
Now the views jumping like the kangaroos. Okay. This one right here going through 1 million views. This that Mayweather flow, I could never lose.